You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
My first question for Mike Schur. Were you ever a fan of Arrested Development?
I was.
Do you ever call the city of Sacramento?
I forget that joke now. That rings a very faint
bell. That's really all there is to it. My second question, did you feel the earthquake this morning?
Yeah, it woke me up.
Really?
That's like a for real earthquake when it wakes you up. Yeah, it woke me up, woke my son up. And he came into my room and was like, that was an earthquake, right? And I was like, yes, go back to sleep. And then there was an aftershock that kind of woke me up too. It was pretty intense.
My third question, did you watch Aubrey Plaza on SNL? She is having a moment right now, is she not?
That seems like more of a statement than a question.
I'm asking you, did you agree with me.
Is she not is a question.
Is she not is the question.
Is she not technically, she saved at the end. I did watch her, I thought she was great. I thought she's exactly the kind of host that people at SNL would love, because she's like fully committed to everything. She doesn't half-ass any acting role that she ever takes. And I thought she did really well, and it was a really like surreal to see her on the show, but B, then her and Amy playing the characters that I wrote and created all those years ago was really like very, I had to like pause it and like gather myself a little bit. Like, this is very strange. On the show I used to work on, where I met Amy, then like whatever, 20 years later, there's Aubrey hosting the show, playing the characters on the show. You know, you get it. It was very weird.
Jesus, hit it already.
God, we were waiting for him to just keep adding charges.
I was just going to talk until it happened. I was like, I was stalling to let you do it.
You were as shocked as we were that it didn't happen as quickly as it did, right?
I thought for sure he was going to cut me off. I was like, all right, I guess I'll keep going until I'll add in that I used to work there.
I was just letting you sink and you're looking at me, Louie.
Characters I created on a show that I created.
Man, you guys are slipping. You got, I don't know, you should have been on that so much earlier.
Jess, you get all your questions in?
That was it.
Wait, like, so the earthquake, did things move or just like you just felt the tremors?
No, things moved and shifted a little bit. This was a real one. This was like I immediately woke up and like I stuff on my nightside table was like kind of rattling a little bit.
In the movies, like the plates fall out on the ground and stuff and pictures fall off the wall.
We experienced one in Tahoe. Stugatz, Tony, Chris Cody, and myself, and Greg and myself, we were like, oh, so this is what it's like,
dude.
And you're like waiting for like we were underneath a big chandelier, we're waiting for it to like fall on top of us.
Dude, I was at Summer League in Vegas, the Zion Williamson Summer League, where the earthquake hit, and I was on a riser because we were doing the jump from you know the arena, and it starts shaking, and the scoreboard starts shaking, and I swear to God, I was like, we're all gonna die. Like, I just saw, this is happening right now. It was my first time being in an earthquake. I was terrified. Everybody was panicking except for, like, the old, like, the sound guy or something, you know, who's one of these stringers or whatever. He was just like, this is nothing.
That.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Well, it's like us with hurricanes down here. I mean, a little bit.
I guess I've never been in a hurricane.
But the difference is you can prepare for a hurricane.
Yeah, you know it's coming.
The earthquake, you have no idea. It's got, like, we're going about our day, Lake Tahoe, playing golf. I think we were eating and then getting ready to record.
We had just finished podcasting.
Right.
Are we trying to outdo each other with natural disaster experiences?
I don't know what we're doing.
It's like tornadoes.
There's like an LA QuakeBot alert system where sometimes you get a... That works on probabilities. So you get a text on your phone that says, like, there may be an earthquake in the next, but it's like in the next 15 seconds.
Oh, thanks.
So you're kind of like,
not really a ton of notice.
it's amazing that they even can do that. But yeah, the fundamental difference here is like, it just happens. You're just in it. A couple of years ago, we were sitting out in our backyard. And sometimes if you happen to be looking in the right direction, you can actually kind of see them coming. Like, you can see the ripple coming through the earth in front of you. It's very crazy.
Calling bullshit.
No, I'm not kidding. Wow. You see a little bit of a veteran Angelino
at this point. You've been through them.
I have indeed.
How much do you guys know about the earth?
A lot.
That's a great question.
Not as much as I wish I did.
Well, I don't, you know what? I think even if you say a lot, none of us know a lot about the Earth.
Really?
We haven't scratched the surface on what we know about the Earth.
Well, because this goes
with the deep sea.
This question goes deeper than the surface, and that is, there's been news stories that have come out that the Earth's core stopped and then started spinning in the opposite direction.
Yeah.
What the hell does that mean? Because everyone's freaking out about it, and I see that and I read it, and I'm like, I don't know what any of that means. How is that going to impact my life? And then I saw one thing. It was like, the days may be shorter. And that was it. And I'm like, that seems like a bigger deal than that.
Wait, so the Earth's crust is like a pizza pie, and so it's spinning one way, and then they're like,
no,
oh,
the
we got
to
spin it.
It's the core.
The core spinning.
Not the
like,
molten
crust?
Core. No, not the
core. I like to think of the Earth's crust as a cheese-stuffed crust pizza.
You had it like the pizza man in the pizzeria just kind of flipping
or
it.
Or woman, yeah. That was a bit from Game Theory this weekend.
So she's spinning it on the finger, and then it goes the other way. That's the way you were imagining it.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie. That's what you had.
That's Amore.
Yeah.
So Mike, you know about this story?
I do. Yes.
Do you know what any of it means?
I sort of understood when I read it, but apparently the reason not to freak out is that it happens every like 70 years. This happens, like the interior core slows down and then starts spinning the other way. But it's in a bowl of like molten lava, so it doesn't affect anything, except it's very, very slowly. When it's spinning the opposite way, it very slowly slows down the rotation of the Earth like the fraction of a millionth of a second.
I can't wait for this Christopher Nolan movie. I don't know about you guys.
The core, rated R.
The report says that the inner core's rotation came to a near halt around 2009 and then turned the opposite direction. So this seems to have happened a while ago, and I guess we're only onto this. We can't really study the inner core so much because of how hot it is, and we can only actually really study it due to
the
seismic waves that come because of earthquakes. So maybe today, what happened to you this morning, Mike, sure might allow a scientific opportunity to learn more about the inner core.
This feels like a job for James Cameron, really. Like, you feel like James Cameron should make some kind of submarine and go down into the core and look around.
But no, but there's got to be a love story in it, right? There's got to be a love story.
All right, there's like a piece of, there's a diamond down there. It's like the world's biggest diamond, and someone's looking for it, and you know, you get it.
Not worth getting. The British are just going to steal it anyways.
You really had no desire to try and sell that whatsoever.
I could tell he's a TV man.
Stugatz, I have my list of top five Sacramento Kings who make you smile. Do you have your list?
Oh, wow. Okay. I have a list. I believe Amin has a list. I'm giving others time to gather their list, and hopefully we won't all say the same names here, but I do have my list ready.
Great. And while I'll filibuster a little bit to let you write your list, there is a Sacramento Kings update. As the Sacramento Kings correspondent for Meadowlark, I feel like I should give this update. GM Monty McNair signed an extension. It's a big deal. Right? Amin?
It is a big deal.
This guy completely built up the team again. He drafted, listen to the things this guy did. He drafted Tyrese Halliburton.
Mm-hmm.
He flipped Halliburton for Sabonis, who's the core of the team.
Mm-hmm.
He drafted Keegan Murray, who's great, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
He traded for Kevin Huerter. He hired Mike Brown. This is he's the coach of the year. Mike Brown's coach of the year. I feel like Monty McNair, executive of the year. Amin, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, he was on the hot seat like up until basically this season. Because
of the Halliburton trade or because they screwed that up?
Like everything wasn't working. And at some point it was like, okay, dude, like you came here, came from Houston, you're supposed to have all of this knowledge and stuff and things weren't working out. But the Sabonis has played great.
You're shocked by that, by the way, right?
By what?
How good Sabonis has been?
No. He was an all-star in Indiana.
But you're surprised at how good the team is, no?
I'm surprised at how good the team is, yeah. I didn't think they'd be this good. Then again, like the West is really compressed, so anything can happen in the second half of the season. But, Sabonis was good. The Huerter deal was huge because they basically took advantage of Atlanta, who was trying to basically go into cost savings mode and got a really good player out of it. And then Mike Brown and the rest of that staff that they brought in, like they've hit the mark perfectly. And so, I'm with you. I wouldn't be mad at either of those guys winning the award.
It is my goal, my stated goal, to make this show talk about the Sacramento Kings for at least 5 minutes a day, every day, for the rest of the year.
Have they become your West Coast team, like your adopted West Coast team?
Lighting the beam out there?
I lit the beam the other night. I mean, I was just saying before we went on air, it was super exciting to watch the beam get lit by Malik Monk and then to run outside and like look up at the sky. I took a picture of myself in the beam.
What is it about the Kings that has everyone scrambling to put together a top five Sacramento Kings that make you smile list? What is it
I think
about
it's
that
because
team?
They're the like famously most terrible franchise in the sport, right? So like when they're good, it's exciting. Right.
So
that's what I think.
To me, the funny, so I did like a search on, you know, Sacramento Kings sorted by games played, and there are only 36 players that have played the equivalent of more than two seasons with the Kings. Like it's such a transient, it's such a transient team that like most of the guys just come in and out, and so there actually aren't that many in my time long term Sacramento Kings. But I have five as well.
Okay, Mike,
I have three OLIs.
Do you really?
Me too.
Can you save them? Can you save them for the rest of us?
You have eight Kings.
I have eight Kings to make you smile.
That's amazing. All right, so you want to do the Kings first? We have stat of the day. Are you opening up a pack of baseball cards today?
I've got it right here. Oh, yep, we're doing all this stuff, man.
What a delight. This is
amazing. I now essentially host this show.
All right, what are we starting with? We start with the Kings?
Yeah.
Kings.
All right. Mike, sure, you get us going.
OLI number one, Otis Birdsong.
Wow. Ooh,
that's a good one.
Keep going.
Do you have OLIs?
I do have OLIs.
I only have one, so I don't have three. I have to wait till you get down to one, Mike.
OLI number one, Eddie Johnson.
Excellent.
OLI number two, Hedo Turkoglu.
Really?
There you go.
Yeah.
He's in my top five. OLI number two, Olden Polynice.
Wow. Great one.
Mm-hmm.
OLI number three, Mateen Cleaves.
Oh, that's a good one. Do you remember Mateen Cleaves wearing a Chris Webber jersey on the sideline while Chris Webber was his teammate? You guys don't remember this? Like, this is when everyone was
wearing remember it.
Throwback
yes.
jerseys. No, yes. you don't. Throwback jerseys.
I felt someone needed to support you. I mean,
guys naming dudes is my favorite game. I love this. I could be guys naming dudes all day.
Oh, yeah.
OLI number three, Dante Green. He showed up to his pre-dap workout in a suit.
I could join in now, Bobby Jackson.
The cut of his jib. Bobby Jackson's excellent. Great.
Number
great.
Five.
Six-man point guard off the bench. Incredible.
Wait, hold on, Mike. Hold on a second. How many people have list here? Whittingham, you have one.
Tony's got one.
All right. Amin has one. I have one. We have five lists of five Sacramento Kings that make us smile.
It's all going to be the same. It's all going to be the same.
It didn't, but it's going to. All right. So, Mike, let's just establish an order here. Mike Schur, Tony, Witty, me, Amin. Good?
Got it.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Here we go. All right. Go ahead, Mike. Number five.
Number five, Peja Stojakovic.
Damn it.
Number five for me, Doug Christie.
Oh, no.
Number five for me, Costa Kufos. Stu?
Are you okay?
I'm sorry. No, because I have to change. I also had Doug Christie at number five.
Right. Ah, great mind.
There you go.
Scott Pollard.
Oh!
Good one.
Before I do number four, Matt Barnes was on my flight home from Sacramento yesterday.
Oh, nice.
Just want to get that in there.
Hit it.
First class, I hope, with the other assholes.
Southwest flight. No first class.
Wow, just like sure. Southwest.
Wait, hold on. Emergency exit row? That's the first class of Southwest, right?
He sat in the emergency exit row, I think, just because of his size, yes. But I sat in like row eight or whatever. All right, here we go. Number four, Wayman Tisdale.
Oh, RIP. Man.
Number four, Vlade Divac.
Yeah.
Heaters.
Smoking a cigarette.
Nick Stauskas.
Kirby's is good, man.
Current one.
Stauskas.
Number four for me, Scott Pollard.
One T in Scott, by the way.
Yes.
Really?
The rare.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Number four for me, Corliss Williamson.
Excellent.
Speaking of Coors.
Yay!
Coors Light.
Miller Light.
Number three, Mike.
Number three, Lawrence Funderburk.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
I'm constantly having to change my list. I mean,
number three, Peja Stojakovic.
Number three, Brad Miller.
Oh, excellent headband. Number three for me, Walt Williams.
The Wizard.
Yes.
You know why they called him the Wizard, right?
No.
He was supposed to be the next Magic Johnson.
He wasn't.
Early three-point specialist, though. Yeah, number three for me was Lawrence Funderburg.
Number two, Nate Tiny Archibald.
Oh, Wait a second.
What?
Did not play in Sacramento. He was a Kansas City King.
Did you specify that before the list was made?
Top five Kings that make you smile.
I thought Sacramento was in there.
It counts. Okay. Tony, number two.
Number two, I had Mateen Cleaves. He was already mentioned. Jason Williams.
Oh, white chocolate.
Mm-hmm. Omri Caspi. Oh,
really? Hold on, I got to scratch it.
Oh, no, you got
number two for me, Wayman Tisdale.
Accomplished jazz musician, yes. Wayman Tisdale.
Yeah, our number one's all going to be the same,
No, it's definitely not.
My number two is Hedo Turkoglu. Funny guy.
Number one.
Spud Webb.
Yeah.
Wow. Nice.
I've got a tie at number one of these that make me smile.
No,
you could have gone OLI when you had the chance.
No, I was.
If there's a tie at one, you can't have a number two.
Yeah. No, you don't. You don't know that.
What?
Number one for me, Tony, in a tie, Z-Bo.
Okay.
I'm cutting his mic so he can't do the second one.
It's OLI. I mean.
Mitch Richmond was it for the people that didn't hear me because Jess is arbitrarily on turning off my mic.
Chaos.
You don't know the rules of the top five list, Tony.
I'm not pivoting.
It's my top five.
I'm not pivoting just because it's been said my number one remains Lawrence Funderburk.
My number one is Reggie Theus.
I was waiting for it.
Good job, Stugatz. My number one is probably number one in Mike's heart as well. Eddie Casa. Eddie House.
I don't remember him
legend,
as a king.
Legend, really Onions. More of a Celtic. Really more of a Celtic.
More of a Heat. More of a Heat.
Eddie House is the quintessential, I play here for a year and a half, and then I move on.
Right, and all the fans love, I remember I was like 11 years old, and I go to Heat games, like, why doesn't Eddie House play more? Every time he comes on, good things happen.
You know who else
says
that?
And then
like
you realize later, defense.
You know who else says that? Eddie House.
All right, Mike Schur, stat of the day.
All right, let's do it.
Start of the day, start glorious of the list. Day. It is the start of the day. Start of the day, start of the day. It is the start of the day. Start of the day, start of the day. It is the start of the day. Start of the day, start of the day. It is the start of the day.
We did a great job turning original sound on so I could hear the music. Hold on.
Are we just going to do this every day?
Yep.
Okay.
That's right. According to Optostats, the Eagles beat the Giants three times a season by a total of 63 points. That is the largest scoring margin by an NFL team in a three-game sweep against an opponent in a season since 1929. When the Giants beat the Frankfurt Yellow Jackets three times by 75 points. You guys all remember the Frankfurt Yellow Jackets?
Love.
Only Greg Cody does.
I love old-timey sports team names.
Are there like a bunch of NFL team names that are somewhere that we just are completely... Because I had no idea that that was a franchise.
Yes. If you go,
I didn't either.
Decatur Staleys?
If you go to profootballreference.com and just hit franchises... It'll show you every single franchise that's ever existed, including.
Wait, we should do
names.
A top five defunct NFL franchises
that
list.
Make me smile.
Oh my God. Let's I'm on it for tomorrow.
For tomorrow.
Okay.
All You're right. That's tomorrow's top five.
All right.
Oh man, I just saw a doozy.
All right, let's open up a pack of baseball cards, Mike.
Here we go.
You got a doozy? I love a doozy.
Oh man, I want to save it for tomorrow, but I also kind of want to spoil it now.
No, save it.
All right,
save it.
Oh man. Mm-hmm. All right, once again, please go to GoFundMe.com/podcast. Donate money for ALS research to the Eleanor and Lou Gehrig Foundation. And then once you do that, you can go to send an email to podcastraffle at gmail.com. Enter yourself in a raffle to win a bunch of cards and hand personalized essays and signed books and all sorts of stuff. For example, you could pick this Jesse Orozco card.
Oh, wow. Jesse Orozco.
The other half of, it's the other half of your Mets bullpen there.
Yeah, McDowell and Orozco, two closers, 86 Mets World Series. God, what a great pack.
I'm convinced that Jesse Orozco can still come out of the pen and get a lefty out.
Yeah.
I agree. Yep. Put it on poll.
Or if you're a Phillies fan, you could choose this Mickey Morandini card.
Oh, wow.
Poznanski write you an essay about it.
Yeah,
more or less. Or
you like just Pete Harnish? There's your guy, Pete Harnish.
I love Pete Harnish. Didn't Pete Harnish win a Cy Young 1 year? I think he did. No.
No, he didn't.
He never came close. I think Pete Harnish did. Look it up.
Jesse Orozco pitched from 1979 to 2003. That's a remarkable run.
Across four decades?
Yeah. 24 seasons. Yeah, across four decades. That's right.
Vince Gott over here.
Pete Harnish was an all-star in 1991. There is no mention of him ever finishing anywhere on the Cy Young balloting.
Jesus.
I thought he had a season. Rocket. I'm sorry.
Roger Clemens. Roger Clemens, guys.
Oh, wow. Any value there?
Probably not.
No.
All right. 1992 draft pick Sean Lowe. I don't think Sean Lowe ever made it.
No.
The card. If the Jeter rookie card looks like this, it's one of those draft pick cards. That's right. The one we're really looking for. Herm Winningham.
Oh, wow. What a great name. Wow.
Winningham.
Herm.
That's a great 90s baseball name.
Winning.
80s baseball name.
Sean Lowe played for 7 years, Mike. Cardinals, really? White Sox, Pirates, Rockies. Right. And
good work,
Royals.
Sean.
Yeah, nice little guy.
How long did Jack Morris play for, though?
Oh, my God, forever.
Yeah, Jack.
Still playing. One of the great World Series starts of all time. Amazing.
Oh, hey, everyone, focus up. It's the Jeter rookie.
Oh, my God. The Captain Jeets.
Now, this card is worth a lot of money. We're auctioning these off. Part of the auction is that if you there will be one lucky winner who will win a Derek Jeter prize package, which includes a Jeter rookie, which could be worth like $400-$500 if it's in perfect condition. You'll also win a Derek Jeter jersey that I have in my possession because I did a different fundraiser thing a couple years ago.
Wow.
Where I had to wear a Derek Jeter jersey and eat hot fruit, which I hate, and say things like Tom Brady sucks or whatever for money. And you'll win an actual Derek Jeter signed baseball that the writing staff of the show I'm currently working on got me as a joke that's authentic and that I hate and want out of my house. And I'm just going to give it to whoever wants it.
Mike,
Jeter fan, go enter yourself in that raffle.
Where am I supposed to look for the value of baseball cards? Because I've been yelled at for giving out the eBay price because anyone can sell their cards for anything.
Guide. There actually used to be a price guide where you would look it up. I don't know if they still.
Somebody yelled at me in my direct message request, and I forgot to save it.
There's a couple things you can do. One is you can triangulate with eBay, multiple eBay listings, because sometimes people list cards for like $50,000 or something, and it doesn't mean anything. But if you go to the PSA price guide, PSA is one of the grading services. There's a bunch of them, Beckett, PSA, and I can't remember the names of the ones offhand, but if you go to they have an actual thing that will show you like actual sales that have gone through on eBay. So instead of looking at a card that's listed on eBay for $499, you can go and it said this one sold at this price, you know, mint 8 or mint 9 or whatever. It sold at $312. So at least it gives you a better idea of how much the cards are worth.
Presuming that yours is graded as a 10, considering it was just opened.
No, it wouldn't be.
It wouldn't be?
No, it wouldn't be.
It's got to go straight to plastic.
It might be also slightly misprinted one way or another, like off center. There's lots of things that go into.
You have to like send cards. Them in and get them.
Yeah,
great.
Well,
yeah. They're very stingy.
The tens are going for a minimum of $300.
Wow. Yeah.
The nines.
It's probably a nine because it's literally brand new.
So you're going from anywhere from like
$40 to $80
on the nines. That's decent though.
Pretty good.
Yep. Mike, I notice you've been awfully quiet about the Celtics, the Heat, all that today. Any reason? Or?
That was kind of odd.
I'm sorry. I just don't have it in me to talk about the miserable, unpleasant, joyless brand of basketball the Miami Heat are inflicting on the world.
I will say the last two minutes of that game were really exciting. I know that because those are the only 2 minutes that I watched.
That's all you need to watch.
That's all you need to watch.
It was ball game. They were fantastic. Yeah. I mean, the Panthers-Penguins game was captivating last night. We finished 7-6 in Pittsburgh last night. But the last 2 minutes of Heat-Celtics were incredible.
How about the Bruins? How about the Boston Bruins?
The Bees, yeah. They're like goal differential, like plus 80 or something.
Yeah, best team in the league.
Crazy good season.
They're on pace to break like every record that's ever existed in hockey.
But it's like,
I'm now claiming them.
What a masterful job by you, sprinting away from the NBA and the Heat and the Celtics and going to your Bees. I mean,
you don't even watch the game.
They're 38-5-4.
Isn't he a Hartford Whalers fan?
They're so good on the forecheck.
President's Cup winners, possibly.
Well, yes, he will be. Wow.
Yeah. And they're going to break the President's Cup curse.
Trophy.
Biden whatever.
Cup, yeah. Not my president.
The Biden Cup. Thank you, Mike Sherm.
Hold on a second. Smitty already has a top five.
Uh-oh.
Oh, my God.
I thought we were saving it for tomorrow.
I can't wait.
She can't. She has to do it now. She wants to do it now.
All right.
She wants to do it now.
You guys did four separate Sacramento King top fives.
It was glorious. Five. Go ahead. Do it.
Number five, the Muncie Flyers. Shout out to Muncie for having a pro football team. Muncie, Indiana.
Home
of, never mind.
Yep, that, what he said.
Well said.
The cradle of professional football in America, by the way, was all in the Chicagoland area.
Muncie Wells.
I highly recommend reading the book, The League, about the formation of the NFL if you are interested in pro football history.
Is there a TikTok I can watch?
I can make you one, Amin. Number four, I mentioned it earlier, the Decatur Staleys. They became the Chicago Bears. Number three.
Where is Decatur?
Decatur is in Illinois. Yeah.
Well, there's a million Decaturs all across the country.
Well, this one is in Illinois. Yeah. The Providence Steamroller. Number three, Steamroller Singular.
Singular Steamroller.
Sounds like some team names without plural S's at the end.
Avalanche.
Heat.
Jazz.
Magic.
The Orange. The Wolverine.
Jazz.
Lightning.
Larry Drew.
The Wolverine?
I don't know. I just said that.
Vile.
I was like, there's probably a Wolverine team somewhere.
What?
Saying names. Number two, the Staten Island Stapletons. Stapleton, I'm glad you asked, Tony, is a neighborhood in Staten Island. A lot of these team names in the early pro football days were, you know, named after the sponsor of their team. So I thought, maybe this team was named after a staple company. It was not, in fact, the case. It was named after a neighborhood in Staten Island called Stapleton. So it was the Staten Island Stapletons. Number one, my favorite. This team only played for 1 year before it disbanded in a suburb of Buffalo, New York. The Towanda Cardex Lumbermen.
Wow.
Cardex was an index card company.
Nice.
So there you go.
Towanda?
Towanda is a neighborhood in New York.
Huh.
Or city, I guess.
Outside of Buffalo, yeah.
Little small town.
So what's honestly, this mean? Are, said, we not, are we not doing this tomorrow?
She said Wolverine.
Yeah.
Singular. Yeah. And whatever. No one, like, she almost got away with it.
The Sheboygan Wolverine.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Are we not doing this tomorrow now?
I literally just did it. You want me to do it again?
But we all wanted to put our own. Yeah, is it just football team? Theirs together.
Baseball has the best.
Yeah, ooh. Mike, did you hear about the Hickory Dickory Docks?
No. Should we do baseball franchises tomorrow?
Yeah.
Is that a defunct baseball
franchise?
Yes.
They're new. They used to be the Hickory Crawdads. Now they're the Hickory Dickory Docks.
Oh, I left off John Salmons.
No.
Working great.
Bye, guys.
Hey, it's Mike Ryan. I've been watching sports for a long time now. As an adult, a lot has changed. A lot has changed since I turned 21 in the world. But once I was able to enjoy sports with the wonderful taste of Miller Lite, I knew that there was no topping this. I mean, I think back then, instant replay was barely used in other sports outside of football. So when I wanted to complain about referees, I would get all mad, and then I would take a sip of that Miller Lite, cool myself down, take a beat, and realize there are more important things, like the great taste of Miller Lite. Less filling, and only 96 calories, the original light beer since 1975. You remember all those old John Madden ads? I still view them on YouTube occasionally. You don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time! To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Levitard.
Kiss me where you bruise me. Taste me on that fleshy part.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Taste me on that fleshy part.
Taste me, not touch me.
Taste me on that fleshy part.
Wow.
Wow, Bruce. That-
Stugatz.
Bruce, I'm talking about the clitoris. I'm talking about the clitoris. Yes, I am. Now we're out here riffing. And I'm going to try to find it if I can.
Okay. Well, wonderful rendition.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
Presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA.
Amin, I heard an interesting conversation, and one that I know you're into on the way in this morning on ESPN Radio. Jalen Rose said Ben Simmons is playing so poorly and taking so much money from the Brooklyn Nets that he should be playing with a ski mask on, which is, I think, a joke that many people have made before, and Jay Williams took exception to it, as did Keyshawn Johnson, saying, hey, can't we just say he's not playing well? By the way, Ben Simmons is not playing that badly either. He's just not playing to the contract. But Jalen Rose thinks that he's stealing money from the Nets and used that way to describe what it is Ben Simmons, he thinks Ben Simmons is doing to the Brooklyn Nets. And Jay Williams and Keyshawn Johnson both said, hey, can't we just say he's playing poorly? Do we need to put a ski mask on a guy and have him stealing money from people? Why are we doing that? And it escalated into a whole big conversation. So I'd be interested in your thoughts on all of that.
Well, Stugatz, I agree with Jay Will and Keyshawn Johnson.
You do?
That we should not be saying that Ben Simmons has a ski mask on and is stealing money. Because when you rob a bank, what are you getting, like a couple $100,000? That's nothing.
Right.
What we should say is Ben Simmons should put on a suit because he's embezzling millions of dollars. That's where the real criminals are, ladies and gentlemen.
White-collar crime.
White-collar crime.
So you're putting him on Wall Street or something.
Yes, absolutely.
Running an insurance scam.
I just watched that Bernie Madoff
it's good.
Netflix docuseries. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. You know how much balls you have to rob that many people for that long continuously, knowing it's all going to fall apart one day?
I'm almost amazed that, like, with the amount of money that you couldn't you just, like, trip your way into, like, returning 5% on that and, like, just buy, like, some municipal bonds on the side.
No.
And give it back to you and give it back to your customers. Like, you can't even return, like, a little bit of a profit back to them.
Isn't that also fraud?
It's all fraud.
Oh, it's all fraud. But what I'm saying is like, you just completely burned through all of it?
Because he takes this money and he has to pay other
it's
people.
A Ponzi scheme.
Wait, are you trying to figure out the correct way to pull off a Ponzi scheme?
Yeah.
I'm
saying, like, there couldn't have been a way where, like, you make it last a little bit longer by...
He did it for a long time.
No, years.
The documentary, he did it all for a while.
It also doesn't work. Like, you don't just give it back and say, oh, I'm sorry, I'm just going to live off all the interest that I made, like, with your money. Like, they're burning through that money.
No, you collect as much money as you can. Witty, the reason it collapsed is because the market collapsed and then everyone wanted their money and he can't give everyone their money back at once, but he can give a couple of people their money back at once, but not the entire group.
My favorite part about the
couple of 5% munis ain't going to fix it. No, dude,
my favorite part was when there's the guy at, like, the rival investment place was like, yo, either they've discovered the fountain of youth or whatever, or this is a Ponzi scheme, and he writes everything out and sends it to the SEC, and the SEC's version of an investigation is, hello, Bernie, are you running a Ponzi scheme? No. All right, good enough for us. That was the investigation.
Take your word for it.
Yeah.
So you want to change this. You want to get rid of how we describe a guy who is underperforming his contract to wearing a bank robber's mask, essentially.
Yeah. Bank robber's mask is so, like, this is like the 1920s. Like, they're all dressed like the Hamburglar.
So you want a suit that, like, Gordon Gekko would wear.
Okay. Hair slicked back.
That's true. Let's talk about corporate theft, wage theft. Those are the real thefts happening. Enough with this petty crime analogy.
Right. Like, this is grand stealing millions of dollars.
So, I mean, the problem for you is not the cruelty of saying, saying that someone is stealing money. It's the accuracy of the metaphor.
Yeah, man. He's off base, Jalen Rose. You got him here like the Hamburg with a black and white striped shirt and a little mask, a Zorro mask on and a weird fedora. What's up with that hat? And he's running around with a sack with a dollar sign on it and just like dollar bills sticking out of it. Like, it's so small time.
Right, but we're so accustomed to saying wearing a ski mask. So do me a favor, just present it the other way, like how you want it presented.
Okay.
Moving forward
so,
here.
Double-breasted.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
Power suit.
Uh-huh.
Got to have the, what's it called, the pinstripes? Okay. The real bold pinstripes, right? Right.
Like what Nick Wright was wearing on his show the other day.
Probably.
He had a very, very pinstripey three-piece suit on.
Yeah, I don't watch that hack. Sorry.
Wow. It's not on Twitter. Actually, I don't watch cable either. Sorry.
Then the tie has to be a power color, like bright red or like that blue, right?
Right.
Then it's got to be a blue shirt, but with the white collar. It's white collar crime, right?
But you would say Ben Simmons should be playing in what? Like, how would you describe that if you were just a three-piece suit?
In a three-piece suit down on Wall Street. That's where Ben Simmons at.
I think you're right.
Right? Like,
I mean, it's not exactly the point Jay Williams was trying to make, nor Keyshawn Johnson.
It was. He just didn't know it. They didn't know it yet.
Hey, it's Mike Ryan. I've been watching sports for a long time now. As an adult, a lot has changed. A lot has changed since I turned 21 in the world. But once I was able to enjoy sports with the wonderful taste of Miller Lite, I knew that there was no topping this. I mean, I think back then, instant replay was barely used in other sports outside of football. So when I wanted to complain about referees, I would get all mad, and then I would take a sip of that Miller Lite, cool myself down, take a beat, and realize there are more important things, like the great taste of Miller Lite. Less filling, and only 96 calories, the original light beer since 1975. You remember all those old John Madden ads? I still view them on YouTube occasionally. You don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.